don't teach kids what these AI models are using their data for, I think it's dangerous because we're allowing kids to put in their information, and that's private, sensitive information.
Ultimately, the subcommittee agreed schools should be required to teach kids about AI as soon as they introduce devices into the classroom. Next up, Bina Mejia Romero of Connecticut had to defend this particular amendment in front of the full Senate.
We should be introduced to it when devices are introduced to our classrooms.
Right.
If we're going to be using devices, we should know the dangers and the benefits that they have.
Fantastic. Let's get a round of applause for the Senator of Connecticut.
For older students, the senators decided to ban the use of AI on any graded tests and in the act of writing, though editing and studying with AI would be allowed after eighth grade. And for students accused of breaking those rules, Ohio's David McCann Linares told the full Senate there should be protections.
There's been many instances where students have had their work falsely flagged and they haven't been able to appeal it, or they have had to spend multiple weeks appealing it. There must be an appeal process there.
Not just an appeal process, but the review should be done by two school adults, not just one. In another powerful moment on the Senate floor, Dylan Dornack from Iowa told his colleagues that if a student in crisis tries to get emotional support from a school chatbot, the AI should not respond. Instead, it should notify trusted school adults.
It'll alert those people, and then those people can go and find that student, have them come and talk to them, provide them with the resources that that student clearly needs in that moment.
When asked if alerting adults might betray students' trust,
your friend might be mad at you for telling somebody that they have mentioned self-harm or anything like that, but you might have saved their life.
By the end of the weekend, the final bill had nearly 50 provisions, but still enough inconsistencies and questions that it wasn't clear it would pass. Michael Champagny, who works for the Institute, told the students, "This is how legislating works. It's messy." And then he reminded them why they were there.
There is currently no AI policy across the country. Many schools have nothing in place. If you truly think that nothing is better than what you have put together, you can absolutely vote this bill down. But are you letting perfect be the enemy of good?
After a frantic working lunch and some quick fixes, it was time for the final vote. Dozens of students signed up to make one-minute speeches before the full Senate.
This morning, I was one of this bill's staunchest opponents.
Ethan Liu traveled to Boston from West Virginia.
I had a whole different speech planned out against this bill, actually. It was really good. I was going to quote Charlie XCX, and it was really good, and I'm sad I wasn't able to give it.
Instead, Liu encouraged his Senate colleagues to vote yes. After a few more speeches,
time for voting has come, senators.
The student senators cast their votes.
Aye. Senator Caldwell. Senator votes no. Senator Cox.
Aye.
Senator votes aye.
And held their breath.
Senators, by a final vote of 83 in favor, 15 opposed, senators, congratulations, you've passed S-2026, the Students' First Act here today. Well done.
Now, the bill heads to those 10,000 school leaders across the country, many of whom are debating these very questions, and who might find the Students' First Act a really good first step. Corey Turner, NPR News, Boston.
Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines that happens in just about 12 minutes at 3:30. At 3:36, we are going to hear from Scott Horsley. He'll tell us all about the data that just came out from the U.S. Commerce Department on gross domestic product for quarter number two. Spoiler alert, it's not necessarily what the administration wanted to hear. So we will talk about that. Then, at 4:15, many Kansas voters are frustrated by politics as usual, and some are looking for viable alternatives to traditional major party candidates.
Most Americans are very much angry with both parties.
That frustration has fueled some insurgent candidates to victories across the nation. Coming up on KPR, reporter Jim McLean looks into how this might affect some key races in Kansas. That's coming up here on KPR.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living with five locations across eastern Kansas in Topeka, Osage City, Iola, Emporia, and El Dorado, working to empower persons with disabilities. More at rcilinc.org.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight, a 70% chance of showers and storms. Going to be humid with lows in the lower 70s. Tomorrow, another chance of rain and a high in the upper 80s. The time is 3:20.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at lodestarfoundation.org. From FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds, working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Juana Summers. In Graham Platner, Maine Democrats thought they'd found a winning formula to bring working-class voters back into their coalition this election season. But the charismatic progressive who rose to national prominence withdrew from the race under the weight of scandal. Now another working-class politician who's not known for viral speeches has less than 100 days to try and beat Republican Senator Susan Collins. Maine Public's Steve Missler has more on Troy Jackson, the lager-turned-progressive firebrand.
Nearly a year before Troy Jackson replaced Graham Platner on the ballot, he replaced him on the rally stage at an event in Portland. Like Platner, Jackson launched into a broadside against the political establishment.
And they don't want somebody with grease on their hands and on their shoes. Someone who talks funny, didn't go to the right school, and doesn't share their pedigree. To them, that is what we are, nobodies.
That self-proclaimed nobody now carries Democrats' hopes of flipping a critical Senate seat. Jackson says he wants to harness the energy Platner built, but he's also blazed a much different path, a journey that began nearly three decades ago in Maine's remote North Woods.
For the second time in a year, a small group of unemployed Maine loggers erected a blockade to stop the influx of Canadian woodcutters into the Pine Tree State.
That's how Maine Public described a standoff in 1999 that launched Jackson's political career. Jackson and other loggers used their pickup trucks to blockade a border crossing, protesting Canadian woodcutters coming into the state and saying that they were taking away American jobs and driving down wages.
It's going down from what it was 10 years ago. I mean, I don't make near what I used to 10 years ago.
Being a logger back then meant unpredictable work and pay. It also meant working far from home for days at a time. In a speech during his 2014 run for Congress, Jackson recalled how his son would hold tightly to his hand because he didn't want his father to leave.
As if all the strength that he had in that little hand could counter generations of corporate greed that was keeping other young children in the St. John Valley from their parents. It was during those long Sunday nights that would turn into early Monday mornings that I stopped accepting things for the way that they were and started thinking about the way that they should be.
Jackson's fiery speech failed to rescue his congressional primary bid, but he continued to climb in the Maine legislature. He claimed the working class as peers and invited confrontations with those he says are their enemies, corporations, business owners, even governors. In 2013, then-Republican Governor Paul LePage made headlines for insulting Jackson.
People like Troy Jackson, they ought to go back in the woods and cut trees and let somebody with a brain come down here and do some work.
LePage later apologized for insulting loggers, but not Jackson. Jackson eventually became the Senate president in 2018, and his party affiliation and positions on social issues changed as he climbed the political ladder. Early on, he earned top ratings from anti-abortion rights groups. In 2009, he opposed a bill legalizing same-sex marriage. He since tacked sharply left, but his old voting record surfaced in attack ads during this year's Democratic gubernatorial primary.
Mainers just can't trust Troy Jackson on abortion. He earned a 100% rating from Maine Right to Life, voted for legislation that could ban abortions.
Jackson ultimately finished third in that primary. Now he's prosecuting Democrats' case that Susan Collins betrayed women who support abortion rights by voting to confirm the Supreme Court justices who overturned Roe versus Wade.
You know, I'm rock solid on this now. And Susan has been the opposite. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say she was very good on it at the beginning, but she certainly is not good on it now.
Jackson's voting record won't be the only thing under the national microscope. Critics are questioning his temperament, including a dust-up with former state legislator Charlotte Warren. She got into a shouting match with Jackson 5 years ago over a criminal justice bill. Warren, who backed Jackson at the nominating convention, called the incident a family fight.
Troy and I are bare-knuckle brawlers. Mm-hmm. We believe in what we believe in, and we're going to fight for it.
Warren says the U.S. Senate needs more fighters like Jackson. But to get there, he'll first need to beat Collins and the well-funded Republican machine that's backing her. For NPR News, I'm Steve Missler in Brunswick, Maine.
The Ebola outbreak is accelerating across Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Infections and deaths are rising at an alarming rate. The outbreak has now killed more than 1,500 people, and more than 3,000 cases have been recorded. That makes it the fastest-growing Ebola outbreak on record. Emmett Livingstone spoke with the man brought in by the United Nations to coordinate the Ebola response there.
In eastern Congo, the virus is outpacing efforts to contain it.
In the last 7 days, we've recorded 250 deaths, which is double the worst week of any previous epidemic within DRC.
Julien Harness was recently appointed as the United Nations Senior Ebola Coordinator in Congo, a veteran humanitarian official who has worked in some of the world's most challenging crises. He says the outbreak is already approaching the scale of Congo's last major epidemic, but across a much wider area.
We've already reached 60% of all the deaths that occurred in the last big epidemic, which was 1919 to 2020, and we cover a far wider area within DRC.
The response itself is a huge coordination challenge. Government departments, health agencies, international organizations, and dozens of NGOs, all with different funders, rules, and levels of expertise, must work together to stop the virus. And this is happening in an area where militia groups are fighting. Harness says one of the biggest challenges is getting people into treatment quickly. Some patients delay seeking care or avoid it altogether, which increases the risk of death. Treatment centers are also under severe pressure. There are about 900 beds for Ebola patients currently, but that capacity needs to be doubled or tripled, and quickly.
At the moment, we are not at the speed and the scale and the agility that the virus requires from us. We definitely have a challenge there, and we are working to address that.
Ebola is now present in 5 provinces in eastern Congo, having spread rapidly from the epicenter in the province of Ituri. Meanwhile, there are fears Ebola will spill over Congo's borders.
I think the far more challenging issue is towards South Sudan.
Ituri shares a border with the fragile country of South Sudan, with the populated areas of the province tightly linked to settlements on the other side of the border.
You have a really dense population with thousands and thousands of tiny little villages and some big towns. And what the modelling is showing is that the transmission is moving along with the population in those areas. And that is much more difficult to control.
Harness, like every Ebola responder, says that speed is of the essence to stop the outbreak from spreading further. The next few weeks will be critical.
It's really tough, but with good colleagues, with international support, which we do have, we have the possibility to address this. But we need to put more at it. We need to go to scale faster than we've done so far.
For NPR News, I'm Emmett Livingstone in Kinshasa.
This is NPR News.
Apple TV's adaptation of Cape Fear streams its final episode this week. Actor Javier Bardem has won praise for his cerebral take on Max Cady, the manipulative bad guy with vengeance on his mind. You are so creepy in this show.
I love being creepy. Why not being creepy?
My conversation with Javier Bardem on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Okay, you're not going to hear that again. I think they sent us the wrong promo, but we will have Morning Edition, I promise. Matthew Algio will be your local host 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from Salina's Steeple Theater, presenting three bands in one evening. Men at Work, Toad the Wet Sprocket, and Shonen Knife, Monday, August 10th. SteepleTheater.org.
News headlines are coming up next. It's 80 degrees in Topeka, 85 in Emporia. The time is 3:30.
From Latin America, which according to an informal regional rotation, is up next for the top UN job.
That's Michelle Kellerman. This is NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. Supporters and opponents of a constitutional amendment on electing Kansas Supreme Court justices are making their final push in advance of Tuesday's election. The amendment vote decides whether Kansas Supreme Court justices will continue to be chosen by a nominating commission or if they'll be chosen by direct elections. People who want to keep the current system say the amendment will bring partisan politics and big money into the state's highest court. Sarah Stula has worked as a research attorney with the state Supreme Court for 3 years. She actually supports a change. She says lawyers already play politics, but without public oversight.
They're happening behind the scenes, out of the public eye, unaccountable to the people. So that's one of the big flaws in the system.
Critics of the change note that interviews, applications, and nominating commission meetings are, in fact, publicly available online. 16% of Americans are knowledgeable about grasslands. That is according to a survey commissioned by nearly a dozen environmental groups. The groups say that increasing the public's awareness of grasslands is a key step toward saving them. Brian Obermeyer is based in the Flint Hills as the Great Plains Grassland Strategy Director for the Nature Conservancy. He says prairies reduce flood risk, protect drinking water, and support declining bird species. He says they also feed people.
They support, you know, a really important livestock industry. They are the ultimate source of some of our most important streams and rivers. Those watersheds that are still that remain in grass really provide clean water.
Most of North America's grasslands have been destroyed to plant crops or for other uses. Some Kansas teachers say this summer's blockbuster film adaptation of The Odyssey could spark renewed interest in classic literature when students return to school. Gabby Omperon teaches freshman English at Wichita's North High School. She says she hopes teens who watch the large screen versions of Cyclops, Scylla, and Charybdis might be inspired to learn more about Homer's epic poetry.
Anything that is in pop culture, social media, and just, you know, in that public light, it's something that they're going to be paying attention to and probably going to get behind. So I definitely think it just gives me some leverage going into this school year.
Amparan says many high school teachers still teach portions of the Odyssey, but seldom the entire epic. She is planning to use a graphic novel version for some of her classes. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a 70% chance of showers and storms. Humid tonight with a low in the lower 70s. More humidity tomorrow, 40% chance of rain and a high in the upper 80s. You're listening to KPR. The time is 3:35.
This is All Things Considered.
Would last only 3 weeks against a third-rate power like Iran.
Yet, despite those concerns, Shaki still believes in the principles behind peace through strength, just not this administration's execution. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Laura Lorson. Polls show that a growing number of American voters are angry at both political parties as we run up to the midterm elections. And that frustration has fueled some insurgent candidates to victories all across the nation. So KPR's Jim McLean looked into how it might affect some key races in Kansas.
Voters are frustrated by politics as usual.
The other 30% pretty much consistently always vote Democrat or always vote Republican.
Still, she says, voter anger in the current fractured political environment could produce some surprising results in both the August primary and the November general election. In Topeka, I'm Jim McLean.
If you'd like to hear this story again or share it with a friend, visit our website, kansaspublicradio.org. This is your place for NPR News from the University of Kansas, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 in Lawrence as well. Lots of other frequencies, too. And as I just mentioned, we have a website, kansaspublicradio.org. We are streaming there 24 hours a day.
Support for KPR comes from the Merck Co-op, featuring fresh prepared foods and drinks and made-from-scratch pastries. Open daily at 901 Iowa in Lawrence.
Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines at 4:01. Then at 4:06, Republicans in some states say mass voter purges less than 90 days before an election should be something that's allowed. That would be despite a 1993 law which explicitly bans that practice. Some legal experts are wary of going down that path.
In many ways, we're sort of playing this very dangerous game that is going to give states broad authority that Congress never intended.
Nancy Lo Wong will tell us about it coming up on KPR. It's 10 minutes before 4.
It's all... You're listening to Renee Fleming and Bella Fleck performing at NPR's Tiny Desk. The video dropped today, and you can watch the full Tiny Desk concert on the music tab of the NPR app. Download it today wherever you get your apps. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Progressive Insurance, where drivers can bundle and customize their home and auto insurance in one place with the goal of protecting what matters most. Coverage options at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. From BritBox, from the world of Jane Austen and the other Bennet sister, to the rolling Yorkshire hills and a woman of substance, BritBox is committed to helping viewers find their next escape. Streaming now at BritBox.com. From the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at Lemelson.org. And from the Public Welfare Foundation.
Intense heat and strong winds are fueling major wildfires across much of southern Europe. We hear the latest from French wine country on the next morning edition from NPR News.
And that is, in fact, what I believe you will hear on morning edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. It's 79 degrees in Lawrence. It's 4 o'clock.
Youth and criminal justice reforms.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org.
It's 80 degrees in Topeka. It is 81 in Emporia. The time is 4:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 89.7 FM in Emporia, we're always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, where experts connect across a constellation of campuses and disciplines seeking breakthroughs to address complex health, safety, and economic challenges affecting people everywhere. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
Thanks so much for joining us here on KPR this afternoon. We are a service of the University of Kansas. I want to remind you, you can always stream us at kansaspublicradio.org. Listen to us at 89.7 FM in Emporia or 99.5 FM in Manhattan. Lots of ways to access Kansas Public Radio. Hope you'll check some of them out.
Support for KPR comes from Heartland Community Health Center, where doctors, dentists, therapists, and more work together to provide health care for the whole person, welcoming all who need care. More information at heartlandhealth.org.
Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines at 4:30. Then at 4:36, tech stocks have been unusually volatile in recent weeks. Many analysts are citing the unprecedented change in the amount of investment that's been going on in artificial intelligence.
The market's overreacting to every piece of news because the market is looking for the answer to the big question, which is the data center build-out almost over?
We're going to talk about that uncertainty with John Ruich and why the FIFA World Cup is allegedly not for sale. Those stories and more still to come on KPR. 70% chance of showers tonight. Chance of storms after midnight. It's going to be humid. We're expecting a low in the lower 70s.
Support for episode of The Secret Family. This is NPR News.
Intense heat and strong winds are fueling major wildfires across much of southern Europe. In France, firefighters working to contain a huge blaze in one of the country's most important wine-growing regions. Correspondent Eleanor Beardsley gives us the latest from Bordeaux tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Michelle Martin, Layla Fadel, and Matthew Algio will have your latest news headlines. It's a great way to start off your day. Join us for Morning Edition.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas State Fiddling and Picking Championships, promoting American folk music with the annual event in Lawrence's South Park, open to the public August 23rd. Details at fidpick.org.
Hope you'll stay tuned. News headlines coming your way in just about 35 seconds. It's 82 degrees in Lawrence, and the time is 4:30.
Our news.
Stocks rallied, finishing higher across the board on Wall Street. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. The number of cyclosporiasis cases in the Sunflower State keeps rising. State health officials say 172 new cases were reported over the last week, bringing the state's total number to 461. Cyclosporiasis causes frequent diarrhea. Other symptoms include nausea and fatigue. Since May 1st, more than 6,700 cases have been confirmed nationwide. Another 11,000 cases are pending confirmation. The outbreak has been linked to contaminated iceberg lettuce imported from Mexico.
It is now considered the largest known outbreak of cyclosporiasis in U.S. history. It appears that Democrats are outvoting Republicans in the Kansas primary election thus far. According to the Secretary of State's office, as of July 27th, nearly 28,000 Democratic ballots have been cast. About 26,000 Republican ballots have been submitted. 2 years ago, Republicans cast about 14% more early ballots than Democrats. A state Democratic Party official told KSNT she believed the turnaround was due to, quote, a lot of energy and enthusiasm on the Democratic side. The city of Wichita has been selected to host another national championship event, this time for one of the fastest-growing Paralympic sports. Visit Wichita announced today that the city will host the 2027 USA Boccia National Championship at Century 2 next summer. The five-day championship will feature elite athletes from across the nation, and it's a stop on the road to the LA Paralympic Games in 2028. Boccia is a precision ball sport similar to curling or lawn bowling. It's designed for athletes with severe physical disabilities. It's been part of the Paralympic Games since 1984. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, mostly cloudy skies tonight, a 70% chance of showers and storms. It's going to be humid tonight with a low in the lower 70s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and humid with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow, we have a 40% chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and humid with a low in the mid 60s. Sunshine on Saturday, still humid though, highs reaching the lower 80s. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio. It's 4:35.
And from DuckDuckGo.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Kansans head to the polls August 4th. Next time on Prairie Journal, who's running and what's on the ballot? We'll hear from the candidates for governor and the U.S. Senate. We'll also dig into the vote on electing state Supreme Court justices. I'm Kay McIntyre. That's on Prairie Journal, 7 o'clock Thursday evening on KPR2.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 99.5 FM in Manhattan, 89.9 FM in Atchison, lots and lots of frequencies scattered around the state. We are always streaming online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines at 5:01. Then at 5:06, we're going to talk more about the problems they're running into with this nomination of Todd Blanche to be U.S. Attorney General. Some resistance being displayed by Republicans who want some answers about a Justice Department settlement tied to Donald Trump's tax returns. We'll try and get to the bottom of it. Coming up on KPR, stick around.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living, working with individuals, families, and communities to promote independent living and individual choice to persons with disabilities. More info at rcilinc.org.
Seventy percent chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Humid conditions, low in the lower 70s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, humid. Highs in the upper 80s, a 40% chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms tomorrow as well. It's 80 degrees in Topeka. It's 10 minutes before 5.
From NPR, Hewlett.org. And from the Public Welfare Foundation.
Intense heat and strong winds are fueling major wildfires across much of southern Europe. We hear the latest from French wine country on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Get caught up on all the news from overnight and more with Morning Edition. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KAND and KAND HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. News coming up at 5:01. Right now it's 5 o'clock.
Bricked into a sealed fireplace. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Imaginable Futures, envisioning a future where learning sparks opportunity and thriving belongs to everyone. Learn more at imaginablefutures.com. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas State Fiddling and Picking Championships, promoting American folk music with the annual event in Lawrence's South Park, open to the public August 23rd. Details at fidpick.org.
83 degrees in Lawrence, 81 in Atchison, 82 in Abilene. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio. It is 5:06.
Stacked, a really good first step. Corey Turner, NPR News, Boston.
Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
This is your place for NPR News from the University of Kansas. Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 90.3 FM in Chanute. Lots of different frequencies scattered around the state and always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, news headlines at 5:30. At 5:36, Donald Trump returned to the White House promising to steer clear of the kind of open-ended conflicts that have plagued many of his predecessors.
Every president who has entered a war in modern times that's gone longer than people expected, it starts to weigh on them politically.
So now the war with Iran is threatening to lead Trump down that same path. We'll take a closer look with Franco Ordonez. Coming up shortly here on KPR at 5:44, we will hear from reporter Jim McLean, who looked into some data showing that a growing number of voters are angry at both political parties. What does that mean for us here in Kansas? It's coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Riverette Print and Skate, screen printing and skateboard supply under one roof, located in North Lawrence at 608 North 2nd Street, with all the latest boards, safety gear, and more. Information at riverettks.com.
Next time on Prairie Journal, which is tonight at 7 o'clock on KPR 2, the Kansas primary election is less than a week away. Who's running? What's on the ballot? Should Kansans change the way we select state Supreme Court justices? We'll also air some comments from the Republicans and Democrats running for Kansas governor and U.S. Senate. Join us tonight on Prairie Journal. Again, that's at 7 o'clock tonight on your KPR2 stations. The time is 20 minutes past 5.
Mitt Livingstone in Kinshasa.
This is NPR News.
Intense heat and strong winds are fueling major wildfires across much of southern Europe. In France, firefighters working to contain a huge blaze near one of the country's most important wine-growing regions. Correspondent Eleanor Beardsley gives us the latest from Bordeaux on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m.
Morning Edition is the program. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the LMH Health Cancer Center, offering full-service cancer care from diagnostics to treatment to recovery, all in one place. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
Stay tuned. News headlines are coming up next. It's 82 degrees in Emporia, 89 in Chanute, 82 in Topeka. The time is 5:30.
Jenna McLaughlin, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. Supporters and opponents of a constitutional amendment on electing Kansas Supreme Court justices are making a final push in advance of Tuesday's election. The amendment vote decides whether Kansas Supreme Court justices will continue to be chosen by a nominating commission or if they will be chosen by direct election. People who want to keep the current system say the amendment will bring partisan politics and big money into the state's highest court. Sarah Stula worked as a research attorney with the state Supreme Court for 3 years. She actually supports the change. She says lawyers already play politics, but without public oversight.
They're happening behind the scenes, out of the public eye, unaccountable to the people. So that's one of the big flaws in the system.
Critics of the change note interviews, applications, and nominating commission meetings are actually publicly available online. 16% of Americans are knowledgeable about grasslands, and that's according to a survey that was commissioned by nearly a dozen environmental groups. The groups say that increasing the public's awareness of grasslands is a key step toward saving them. Brian Obermeyer is based in the Flint Hills as the Great Plains Grassland Strategy Director for the Nature Conservancy. He says prairies reduce flood risk, protect drinking water, and support declining bird species. He says they also feed people.
They support, you know, really important livestock industry. They are the ultimate source of some of our most important streams and rivers. Those watersheds that are still that remain in grass really provide clean water.
Most of North America's grasslands have been destroyed for planting crops or for other uses. Some Kansas teachers say this summer's blockbuster film adaptation of The Odyssey could spark renewed interest in classic literature when students return to school. Gabi Amparan teaches freshman English at Wichita's North High School. She says she hopes teens who watch the large screen versions of Cyclops, Scylla, and Charybdis might be inspired to learn more about Homer's epic poetry.
Anything that is in pop culture, social media, and just, you know, in that public light, it's something that they're going to be paying attention to and probably going to get behind. So I definitely think it just gives me some leverage going into this school year.
Amparan says many high school teachers still teach portions of the Odyssey, but seldom the entire epic. She's planning to use a graphic novel version for some of her classes. 70% chance of showers and storms tonight, humid with a low in the lower 70s. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio, and the time is 5:35.
This is All Things Considered.
Despite those concerns, Shockey still believes in the principles behind peace through strength, just not this administration's execution. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Laura Lorson. Polls show that a growing number of American voters are angry at both political parties approaching the midterm elections. And that frustration has fueled some insurgent candidates to victories across the nation. So KPR's Jim McLean looked into how it might affect some key races in the state of Kansas.
Voters are frustrated by politics and election. In Topeka, I'm Jim McLean.
If you'd like to hear this story again or share it with a friend, visit our website, kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, a constellation of campuses working to improve lives in Kansas and beyond through health research, public safety training, workforce development, natural resource protection, and more. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us. Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines at 6:01. Then we check in with our Sources and Methods podcasting crew. We are going to talk about the latest round of strikes between the U.S. and Iran and concerns about missile shortages in America's arsenal. That is a sentence I never thought I would say, but here we are, and we'll talk about it coming up on KPR. It's 83 degrees in Lawrence, 84 in Manhattan. The time is 10 minutes before 6.
.org. And from the Public Welfare Foundation.
Intense heat and strong winds are fueling major wildfires across much of southern Europe. We hear the latest from French wine country on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. It's Morning Edition, a great way to start off your day with the latest information. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3. KANQ Chanute, 90.3. K210 CR Atchison, 89.9. K258BT Manhattan, 99.5. And at kansaspublicradio.org. It's 6 o'clock.